New ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. I'm extremely excited about our interview today. If you're like most people, you love Pixar movies, The Incredibles, Finding Nemo, Brave. One of the people most responsible for the one-of-a-kind look of these legendary films is director of photography, Danielle Feinberg. And in this episode, she's here speaking with us. Danielle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Let's start, if you could give me and the audience the executive summary of your story. How did you become director of photography at Pixar, and how is that different from being a cinematographer like, say, Roger Deakins?
Sure. Oh, my favorite. You picked my favorite. So I studied computer science at Harvard, and when I graduated, a little bit after that, I applied to Pixar, who at that point was sort of like a little unknown animation company, because the only computer animation, feature-length computer animation that had come out was Toy Story, and everybody sort of thought Disney had made it. But having studied computer science and computer graphics in college, I knew what Pixar was doing, and I wanted to be a part of it. It was really exciting to me. And so I started in an entry-level position there that was very sort of technical and problem-solving on A Bug's Life, Pixar's second film, and got my first little taste of computer lighting at that point on the film, and then have done lighting pretty much ever since, and got promoted to director of photography for lighting for WALL-E, and then directed the lighting for Brave, and now I'm working on an upcoming film. And it's in live action, a cinematographer or director of photography is directing the camera and the lighting. And at Pixar, we have this pipeline where camera happens very early on and lighting happens very late, and so we split the job into two. And so essentially I'm everything is in place except the lighting by the time it comes to me. And so we go in there and make it look pretty and get the emotions going the right way with sort of time of day and color and things.
Fantastic. So you really sit at this nexus of art and technology, the two things really coming together. Is that a comfortable place? I mean, how much of what you do is artistry? How much is technology?
That is like my absolute favorite place in the world, where my brain is the happiest. That's one of the great things about computer animation, about Pixar, is that it's really equal parts technology and art. And especially in lighting, we get to really use those two things really in concert together to bring things to the screen.
How stable is it? I mean, how much is that balance consistent? Is, you know, we see a lot of, in the world I operate in, we making trailers and promotions for entertainment brands, the tech is changing and changing how we do things a lot, which is changing the art of what we do a lot. And how stable is that balance point for you?
You know, we're always trying to advance and get better and better. And so I would say early on at Pixar, because no one had ever made a feature length computer animated film, we were making a lot of stuff up and just figuring it out as we went. And so the other thing that's really fun is that the computer graphics world is super collaborative. So as PDI and DreamWorks are making films, or Sony's making films, or Blue Sky's making films, we all go to a big conference and people talk about how they make their films and are not super private about it. And so there was massive advancement very quickly, I would say, in computer animation that was really fun to be a part of. You know, we start Monsters Incorporated, and we've never made a film with hair. We did a little dachshund in Toy Story 2 with hair, and it was like, ah, what is this? And then we get to Monsters Incorporated, we have to make a giant main character that has hair all over him, and so you sort of double down and figure out what your technology is. And then you get to The Incredibles, and we have a character with long hair, and that's even more difficult. And so, you know, you sort of just kept advancing things. You have crowds, or you need to do underwater, or all of these things, and it keeps things really, really exciting. It's also, you know, like any technology that we have, it certainly keeps you on your toes, and you have to keep trying to figure out how to do the new things, but also how do you keep doing the old things that you could do before, and now how do you do it in the new system? And so it's innovating all the time. I think that what I've seen over my 20 years here is that the giant sort of leaps of we can't do hair and now we can do hair, those giant leaps have become what feels to me, at least visually and storytelling wise, smaller leaps in terms of it feels now like we can make pretty much any film that we want to. If you think up these crazy things, we sort of know how to do that. We just now are trying to do it better and more, make it more innovative and make it look better and move better. And so it's a little less sort of brand new frontiers for what shows up on the screen. A lot of the technology we're doing is certainly brand new frontiers, but for what the audience sees on the screen, it's a little more like just making it bigger and better.
Right. Now, the audience, because people now have these cameras in their pockets and they're starting to get more and more familiar with Instagram and filters and color correcting and things that maybe the consumer audience didn't have as much personal experience manipulating photo images and things like that. Has that at all changed the expectation, the viewer expectation, or do you not really see some of that personal technology influencing the work that you're doing?
You know, I think hopefully in the end, if we've done our job right, what the audience is really paying attention to is the story. I would love to think they're only paying attention to the visual, since that's what I spend all my time on. But I think that if we put beautiful things up on the screen, then they recognize it as beautiful. But what they really get to pay attention to is the movie. And so I think that people are much more savvy about things now, where what my experience is that I can actually explain what my job is and what I do, and people have a better chance of understanding now. But otherwise, hopefully, like, a great movie is still a great movie.
Right. Well, story. And that's actually my next question, is where do you see the next level of storytelling? And, you know, AR and VR, very hot topics right now. And do you see Pixar moving into that?
I think that it's clear that AR and VR are like these super exciting things that are like this whole treasure chest of stuff that we have yet to figure out what all to do with. And I'm so excited to see what's happening. And, you know, there's people here that are talking about it and thinking about, like, you know, how do you tell a story in that world? And it's pretty fascinating. I'm not a great one at predicting the future. I think the trick is to figure out how to still sort of hold a narrative and a main thread in things with things like VR and AR, where, you know, it's so funny because we spend all our time orchestrating every single shot in our movie. We point the camera exactly where we want to tell the story, and then I light each shot to elicit exactly the right emotion. And so just even like the spotlight stories that Google did, where the user sort of moves the camera around with their phone, to me just boggled my mind, because I was like, what do you mean I can move the camera? What would I do now? So we're at an interesting time.
Well, what's interesting is I would actually say in some ways you're actually ahead of the game, because the trick with directing a cohesive VR or AR story is to cue the viewer to look where you want them to look and make mm-hmm. them think they're doing it on their own. And so you know, there's some marvelous, your TED talk where you show Wally and whether you light it or don't light it, and it calls attention to where he is in the rubble pile. You know, that's beautiful. You know, that makes everything pop. And you don't even realize it as a viewer that you're actually being led down the path. You see this beautiful scene and you're drawn to this one thing. So I think you're actually ahead of the game. But
thank you.
And then the other A thing that people are talking about is AI. And, you know, AI combined with increasingly sophisticated tech, will there always be a place for the human artist, or is it going to be taken over by AI? What do you think about that?
I cannot imagine a place where art is replaced by a machine. You know, I think that it's part of the base human expression of who they are and what they're feeling. And so I certainly think we could get some interesting things out of that, but on some level, one of the most critical elements of art is the humans behind it. And so I can't imagine that ever changing. The thing that I think is interesting is when you start using AI for things, or you start having it even happens here, like sort of just developing technology, is that you see something that you've maybe never seen before. The computer comes up with something, or we build this technology to solve a problem that the director and story department have come up with. And you suddenly see things you've never seen before, and your brain gets inspired and starts going in new directions. And I think that's actually the most important part of it.
Right, right. Very interesting. When interviewing women such as yourself, I like to initially focus on what you do and how you do what you do, because I think that that's actually important for women and young women to see women doing the things. However, of course, it's also important to talk about, I think, gender. And there are very few female cinematographers, and computer programming isn't exactly this bastion of female dominance. So, and in fact, you're very active in promoting and mentoring girls in their interest in maths and sciences. And have you seen the needle shift at all in from the work that you're doing?
I do think things are shifting. I think that certainly there is a huge amount more conversation about how to get more women in tech, but also more just plain diversity, like this recognition that if you just have this sort of same group of people developing all the technology in the world, you're really limiting how many places it's going to go. And so I think that there's been conversation, but I have also seen so many sort of grassroots organizations and big organizations, like, I don't know, like a code.org or something, down to the woman I met recently who's trying to get computer science in all the schools in the Oakland School District where I live. And, you know, it takes a whole world apparently at this point to make that happen. But, you know, I feel like we do have more women applying for our technical positions here. We do have more diversity coming just through Pixar, but in everywhere I go, it feels like the needle is moving. Now, is it moving quickly? No, absolutely not. It needs to go faster, but I'm hoping it's sort of, you know, a little bit more of a snowball type effect where the first woman in has it the hardest always, right? But then you get the second woman in and suddenly they have some support, and then they get to be more comfortable and so do a better job. And so then it becomes normal, and then you just start hiring women and like just more diversity more easily. And so it feels like we're making progress.
Do you see a difference in the storytelling or the way the technology is when there are more women in the conversation?
You know, I think that you absolutely, the more people in the room that have more different experiences, the broader variety of the stories we're going to tell for sure. And also the more the authentic the stories are, where, you know, we've had a couple of our directors choose a story that's sort of based loosely around their daughters. And they can tell it from the sort of dad side of things, but they need women in that story room to help them tell the authentic sort of teenage side of things. If you're thinking about maybe Inside Out or Brave, you need women in that room to help tell that story. And so I think that that makes a massive difference in not just the diversity of stories, but the authenticity of the stories we're putting up on the screen.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to now just rapid fire a series of words at you. I just want your top of line response, whatever first comes to mind.
Okay.
Facebook. And she laughs.
I'm terrible at this. I'm like, oh, Mark Zuckerberg. He was here a couple months ago. Okay.
Google.
Innovation.
Snapchat.
Understandable.
I'm with you there. Twitter.
Not enough words.
YouTube.
An exciting pile of stuff.
Ad blockers.
thank goodness.
Art.
Inspiration.
Augmented reality.
Exciting.
Virtual reality.
Very exciting.
Artificial intelligence.
Interesting.
Okay. What, I sort of think, you know, human genocide bingo. Ah, but
I know that was a lot.
So it's like, nice, but keep it over there. Keep us safe. Okay. What, you know, looking at, you know, you've achieved all of this, and what's next? What's up next for you? Where do you take it from here?
You know, I think that is sort of the exciting thing for me in my life, is that I find the things that inspire me and make me excited, and then I just go with them without a lot of planning about where they're going to go or where they're going to take me. And so I come to Pixar, and I think that making animated films is like the most exciting thing I've ever heard of. And so then I just do it, and I work hard at it, and I get to taste a little lighting, and I love it. And so then I ask if I can do that, and then I do it, and I just work hard at it and try and do the best I can. And, you know, here I am getting to like direct the lighting in these incredible films. And then, you know, I decided almost 15 years ago to send an email to a girls' science and technology camp and just say, oh, if you ever need some help, you know, it's, I know camp's in a week this year, but, and they said, oh, great, we signed you up to teach. Come next week. And I thought, well, okay. And so that's sort of how I got started talking to girls about STEM. And that has taken me to all kinds of amazing things, but giving a TED talk and getting to meet all kinds of amazing women who are doing amazing things with girls in STEM. And so, you know, I, at the moment, I'm just excited to keep seeing where, girls go with STEM, and if I can play any role in encouraging that, that gets me pretty excited. And getting to work on each one of these films, each film is a new challenge and a new opportunity to make incredible images, and so that keeps me excited. But I'm sure I'm gonna, you know, the next time we talk, I'll be doing some other crazy thing. So that's the exciting thing to me, is I never know.
That's funny, because of course my follow-up question was going to be, what excites you? So you've just plowed into it. So now I'll do the flip side of that, is what worries you? Is there, are there any concerns about the industry, where things are headed?
Sure. I mean, I think there's sort of two answers to that, which is the technology side of things is certainly changing everything in our world faster than we even realize. And so there's so much good that comes out of that, but it's hard not to wonder how much bad is really, we'll turn around and go, oops, we kind of messed that up, and it's irreparable now. And so certainly sort of keeping an eye on that and just how that plays out. And then in the sort of movie world, in the computer animated world, it's become an interesting business to just try and keep going at. And so just making sure every day that what we're doing is about making the best films that we can possibly make, so that we get to keep making them. So those are the things that worry me, I suppose.
Right, right. Well, the change, I mean, one of the things behind the podcast was really, you know, my clients are these cable companies, over the top streaming services, and traditional broadcasters. And my sense was that they were sitting in their silos, not necessarily looking outside their own bailiwicks. And I really wanted to look across the industries and speak to innovators and game changers, and also say, you know, there are lessons. People have solved some of these problems. I mean, like what you were talking about, the community of that you go to conferences and people aren't precious with their secret sauce, that they share it, and it makes it better and speedier for everybody. I think it's important to broaden the conversation, because things are changing, and there are insights, and there are ways that everybody is operating the same rapidly changing environment. And maybe if somebody's figured it out, it can help everybody else.
Definitely.
To do that. If, where do you think about like broadcast TV, things like that? Do you watch TV? Do you watch?
I do. I think for me, when I'm working hard and I don't have time to sit down and watch, you know, a 2-hour movie at night, I sit down and I'll watch a half an hour, an hour show. And that's sort of my replacement for entertainment and narrative, and feeds my little story brain. So I definitely, I actually watch a decent amount of TV.
And are you binging anything? What are you watching now?
You know, I love this binge term. I'm like, how does anyone have time to binge? I don't understand that. One or two shows at a time. I skip around a lot, and I'm painfully behind on certain shows. But what have I been watching? I've been watching a ton of Olympics right now, but that's been keeping me up late at night. But Orange is the New Black and Ray Donovan and Billions. And, you know, of course, the sort of Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad and those kind of film TV shows that everyone's watching. But I get a little bit behind. I'm behind on Game of Thrones, which is no good. But
then you get spoiled with all the
spoilers. I know what happens. So
there you go.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I really, really appreciate it. And I think your work is fantastic. And I love light and the awesome storytelling that you've brought to all of us, really. It's really fantastic. So thank you so much.
And thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who've been indispensable to bringing this to life. As usual, first and foremost is the incomparable voice artist, my friend, Rob Naughton. Thank you. Our production team over at Microfame Media, thank you. Thank you, especially to Danielle Feinberg for joining us today and sharing her wonderful insights. And also a big thank you to Nicole Albertson at Pixar, who helped make the episode happen. Thank you. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience. Thank you. I'll be talking to you next week, right here on Up Next.